Spruce Grove Alliance Church, your home.
Good morning. It's great to be here with you this morning on Mother's Day. I just want to recognize the moms and thank you for what you do all the time. I also want to recognize those of us in this room who Mother's Day is hard for, who deal with grief and loss. And we just want to recognize you, and I've been praying for you this week as this day is coming. I also would like to remind the men that it's not too late. If you missed breakfast in bed, there's still two more meals today. And you are the ones who show your kids how to honor mom. So I know she's not your mom. I've heard that before. They're not my mom. It's still your job. Okay. Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are here with us. And we thank you for your leading and your guiding. I thank you for each woman here, those who are filled with joy and anticipation for the day, and those whose hearts hurt. Lord, will you comfort and bless each one? In Jesus' name, amen. When little girls are asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? It's always interesting to hear what they have to say. When I was a little girl and people would ask me what I wanted to be when I grew up, it was usually something quite academic that people would be nodding and like, oh, that's fantastic. Only once in a while would I admit, I want to be a mom. Sad that that's how it is in our culture, isn't it? That the high calling of motherhood, kids can feel like, oh, well, I need to be more than that. But being a mom is important and good. And 19 and a half years ago, God blessed my husband Dan and I with our first child. And I said I wasn't going to get emotional, but when I talk about kids, the emotion gets you. Anyways, 3 days ago, my youngest turned 13. For the next 6 months, we have five teenagers. Five. I know there's others of you out there, but it's kind of unique. It's a big deal. We knew that when our youngest was born that someday all the kids would be teenagers at the same time. And it's crazy that we're here. Some of you may know that our oldest is getting married this summer. It's an interesting and challenging season that I've found myself in. When you have little ones or school-aged kids, even though you know logically that those days will end, they stretch out for so long, and you feel like life like that will go on forever. And to be here at the start of a season of significant change leaves me feeling at a bit of a loss. We're at a place of endings. In addition to my oldest getting married, my second child is graduating from high school. It's about a week apart, so I'm sure I'll be fine. And I have two that are graduating from grade 9. And as I said earlier, my youngest has just left his childhood years behind. I am savoring these last fun-filled days of everyone home. Most nights, and we're busy, so it's just most, we have a full loud table full of funny and interesting stories and discussions. In my kitchen, I hear many genres of music, some I wasn't even really aware of. They're played loudly, some I like, some I don't. But it's really sweet. It's a sweet time that I know is coming to an end. With all this, and of course, the many everyday moments that happen in family life, I can't help but feel a very real sense of loss. Not tragic loss. Of course, I've had those too. But nevertheless, loss. God often asks me to share where I'm at and what he's been teaching me, to articulate how I'm learning to take my thoughts captive and aligning them with truth. So that's what today is. I want to acknowledge John Eldridge's book, All Things New, for its shaping influence today with what I'm sharing as well. Even when you know you have much to be thankful for, life just isn't all that easy. Stuff comes up. Loss in some area of life, the winding down of a career, disappointment for the way that a circumstance worked out or did not work out, financial issues, physical issues, the death of a loved one, a strained relationship. Most of us have something that we are dealing with right now that is not really as we would choose. If you're a mom with young children, it might be the loss of sleep, which then affects every area of your life. Really, it does. It's hard to make decisions and to think and to keep your cool and your calm. Big or small, difficulties and loss take many forms in this broken world. And as we deal with those in our lives, we can try to make things better, sometimes in positive ways, but also through unhealthy or ungodly ways. We overindulge. We numb out with books and TV and Facebook and video games. We get ourselves very busy. We do whatever we can to forget, even for a little while, our realities that we wish were different. The good news is God knew life would be difficult, and so he inspired authors of Scripture to recount the words of Jesus that address the losses and brokenness that we experience to bring us comfort, hope, and to remind us that this earth isn't it. In fact, one of the grand overarching plans of God is to restore all that has been lost, taken, or stolen from us. In God's mercy, this even includes the consequences of sin, our own and others. In the Garden of Eden, before sin, man and woman, lived and worked in perfect community with each other and with God. We are far from the garden now, but God's plan is hopeful, and he wants us to live with hope for the future and to anticipate his rewards. I'm going to guess there have been hundreds, if not thousands, of Mother's Day messages on Proverbs 31. It's a great passage. A wife of noble character. It just sounds grand, doesn't it? It is a poem wrapping up the book of Proverbs, which praises the woman who fears the Lord and describes some of the practical ways that that could look. In preparation for today, I felt like I should take a read through it. What jumped off the page for me, and what fit with where I feel God is leading for our message today, is verse 25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. When we're wise, we can laugh at the days to come. 1 Corinthians 13, known as the love chapter, concludes with the verse, three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Without faith, hope, and love, we don't enjoy the abundant life that Jesus came to bring. Paul says hope lasts forever. Hope is about the future. It is the confident expectation of what God has promised, and its strength is in his faithfulness. But when faced with the realities of life, with the losses that can make our heart ache, it can feel difficult to even smile at the days ahead, let alone laugh. To be honest, some days I feel a sense of dread of what's next. We know that it's not because there is a guarantee that our future here on earth will be easier and brighter tomorrow than it was today, that we are told to have hope and to look forward to the future. There are many passages and stories throughout Scripture about restoration and renewal, both in the Old and New Testament. Jesus causes the blind to see. He heals. He heals a man's withered hand. Jesus conquers sin and death. And Jesus himself is restored to full life, securing the believer's everlasting life with him. Jesus is the great restorer. And when we look to the future, for those of us who have placed our hope and our faith in him, we can actually laugh. Because this earth and its effects, heartaches, and disappointments are only for a short time. Earth isn't and doesn't need to be where all our dreams come true or where every longing is fulfilled. Please turn to Matthew 19, verse 27. This is actually the ending of the story of the rich young ruler. I'm sure you're familiar with it. The rich young ruler has just walked away sad because he has heard from Jesus that his many possessions, actually the idolatry of them, was going to make it difficult to enter the kingdom of heaven. Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are the greatest now will be least important then, and those who seem least important now will be the greatest then." At the end of this age, Jesus acknowledges our losses. Peter is stating his reality, and we can only imagine how very true it was. He's given up much. He says everything. There's a cost to following Jesus, and this looks many different ways for each one of us. But it is clear from Scripture that on earth, as followers of Jesus, we experience loss, trials, and sorrows of many kinds. John Eldridge, in his book, All Things New, says, "There is no bait and switch here. The renewal of all things simply means that the earth you love, all your special places and treasured memories, is restored and renewed and given back to you forever." Sounds amazing, doesn't it? There's so much comfort here. God is going to renew all things. Jesus said, "I tell you, at the renewal of all things means all things." Not only do the followers of Jesus have property and relationships restored, it's returned 100 times. I was going over this with my husband yesterday, and I said, wouldn't that be a great return on an investment? God's economy is so much better than our economy. A reward and result of living faithfully, following Jesus, may look like giving up all these things he's listed: houses, brothers, sister, father, mother, children, property. It may look like allowing losses to come our way, not scrambling and fighting for what the world tells us is ours or should be ours. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and have trusted him for your salvation, your future reality can bring you joy today and hope for the future. 2 Peter 3:13 says, "But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells." This is our future reality. God has promised us a future where righteousness dwells, where God himself will wipe away every tear, where there will be no more sickness, no more death, no more loss, where nothing impure will ever enter. Theologian N.T. Wright tells us that the early Christians held on during difficult days because they believed that God was going to do for the whole cosmos what he had done for Jesus at Easter. There will be a great resurrection, a great renewal of this earth and all its brokenness, just as Jesus was renewed and raised back to life, conquering sin and death. And because God is so generous, there's more. Reward comes in this great restoration. The amazing thing is that what we have lost isn't simply returned. We are given back, as we said before, 100 times what we lost or gave up and given eternal life with God. Jesus says that in this great renewal, many of the least are now greatest. Do you feel like the least? Maybe home with kids? No real acknowledgement for the work you do day in and day out? Are you in a difficult job that you just do not enjoy? Working hard to provide for your family? Are you lonely, often alone? Feeling like the world has passed you by? Forgotten? The least may be greatest in the age to come. What a reward. For some reason, we've often neglected to talk about the rewards that are being prepared for us in heaven. However, Scripture talked about it a whole lot. So I don't think we need to pretend that we don't want or need an amazing reward. As adults, we understand the value of telling kids that if they do a great job, they might get a reward. Everything from potty training to the awards ceremony at school. Rewards are used for motivating, and we remind and encourage kids to stick with their hard work, because in the end, there might be a reward. As believers, there's no question that when we know Christ, there are rewards at the end of this life, and I'm just going to read through a few scriptures highlighting this. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, Matthew 5:12. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right is doing, so that your giving may be done in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Matthew 6:1-4. Matthew isn't saying practicing your righteousness in front of others means you lose your salvation. He's saying you won't have a reward from your Father in heaven. This means our reward is connected with the things that we do here on earth. It is different than our salvation, which is based on our faith in Jesus. It is by grace you have been saved by faith, not by works, so that no one can boast. Be encouraged. Your faithfulness, it matters. Another scripture, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, Matthew 6:20. For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done, Matthew 16:27. By faith, Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Hebrews 11:24-26. In John's vision in Revelation, Jesus says, "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done." Revelation 22:12. Scripture is clear. There will be a renewal of all things, and he gives rewards for what we have done and for our faithfulness to his call on our lives. Despite the circumstances of this day or week or year, we have much to look forward to. Moms, Jesus sees what you are doing. He sees your sacrifice. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." Another new. He created us anew, just like he's going to do with this beautiful but broken earth. He's created us anew, given us new hearts that can love sacrificially, that can hope in a future that we can't see but are sure of. He's made us new in Christ so that we can do all the good things that he has planned for us to do. We started today talking about Proverbs 31, the woman who is clothed with strength and dignity, who is able to laugh without fear of the future. The reality is that we do experience loss and disappointment. I am so thankful for our Holy Spirit who brings us comfort while we are here on earth and sees us through our difficulties. However, eventually, if Jesus doesn't return, if Jesus doesn't return first, that's important. Every loved one and everything that we have held dear, we will lose. However, if you believe in Jesus and trust him for your salvation, nothing is actually lost. Reward and all the good things that Jesus has for you will be yours at the renewal of all things. A few weeks ago, my husband got a call from our bank security team. Someone, we'll call him Mr. Criminal, had put a virus on Dan's computer and had gone into our accounts and moved money around, even from one of our kids, and taken all their savings. And they had moved money around and sent it to themselves. After our computer guys found the virus, there was a very real sense of relief. However, we were still out a chunk of change. We were told by the bank that they would let us know in 2 to 10 days if we'd have the money restored to us or not. So there was a time of waiting and of praying. Once we learned that the money would be restored, we lived differently. We certainly prayed differently because there was a certainty and a confidence that what was ours would be returned. We weren't the ones who needed to make sure we got back what was missing. It would be taken care of for us. If, like me, you sometimes forget that what this world has to offer isn't it. If you sometimes forget that our losses, our grief, and our struggles will end, and that this part of our lives is the short part, not the main part. I encourage you to take some time this week to study, even look up in your concordance the words new, renewal, restore, reward. Read a book about heaven. Allow your anticipation to grow. A couple books are listed in your sermon notes. Allow the Holy Spirit to renew your thoughts so that they are focusing on all that God has for us, both now and in our eternal home. We must vigorously protect the hope that God gives us. God says to love him first because it keeps first things first. And then all that we are dealing with, all the loss, all the disappointment here, falls into the correct order. Imagine the life of laughter, like our Proverbs 31 woman, of the anticipation and the joy we can have if we as believers look beyond our circumstances to our futures in heaven and in the new earth. Jesus says he will give back all that we've lost. Imagine if as a family of believers, we reminded each other of this and encouraged each other to hang in there because there's a great reward at the end. In a few days, we are celebrating our many volunteers here at SGAC with our volunteer survivor. it's been fun to be a part of the planning and sign up. It'll be fun. You won't be voted off, if that's the fear. You won't get voted off. It won't be exactly like the show, but it will be fun too. But when you think about the TV show, Survivor, I'm guessing many of you have seen it. Why do 25 smart people with families and jobs and busy active lives go live on an island with a bunch of strangers to starve, to get sunburnt? They freeze when it rains. The list is long of all the terrible things. The lack of sunglasses would be awful. But why do they do all that? It's because there's a reward. They might win $1 million. An eye on the prize changes everything. If all those men and women can endure what they do for a mere cash reward that can be stolen by Mr. Criminal, those of us who know Jesus need to keep our eye on the prize, on the reward that comes after this life. God promised us many great things in heaven and the new earth, and really, it changes everything. Our losses get put into proper perspective. We know that we not only get back what we've put in, so to speak, but also so much more than we deserve. Jesus is our hope never failing, and our life with him is our destiny and our reward. I'll call up the worship team now. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love. We thank you that you are preparing for us a great home, that this earth isn't it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to fix our thoughts on you and all that you have promised us, and that we could be encouraged in the daily, in the mundane, because we know this isn't it. Our eye is on the prize, life with you and all the glorious things you're going to give us. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Spruce Grove Alliance Church. For more information or to hear past messages, please visit sgac.net.